Remember this portion of God's story as it is written in the book we love. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble, mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, thank you for your word that holds all things together as we contemplate Hosanna this morning. I ask humbly that the words of my mouth and these meditations of our hearts will be acceptable to you, because you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you haven't guessed already, Hosanna is a word we're going to contemplate this morning. And if you're like me, you may have come to associate it with Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is probably the greatest riptide of a worship service for me in the entire worship year. Because if you're in a church that celebrates it and does it intentionally, usually you're waving palm branches, signs of victory. Many think that from the time that this psalm was written and began to be used in the gatherings of the sacrifice of praise, and especially always used at the Feast of the Tabernacles, that the waving of palm branches not only had to do with victory and triumph, but in the minds of many, it was closely linked with the Messiah. There was a messianic dimension when you just saw those branches. So you wave those, you shout, or you sing hosannas, and then before long you're in the middle of the service, and you're reading the passion narrative, and you're shouting, "Crucify him." Well, the word Hosanna is a riptide kind of word. Many think that the word started out as a plea for help, a cry for help. "Lord, save. Save us. Save now." John Piper talks about it as if it's someone who can't swim, fell off a diving board into the deep end, and is screaming for the lifeguard, "I need help and I need it now." Not "save, please," very politely, but "save now, urgent, panic." Of course, by the time that the gospel narrative that we heard read, by the time Hosanna was being exclaimed then, while palm branches were being waved, obviously it had come to mean "God saves," a proclamation of great joy. Which is it? Is it the one or the other? There is one perspective on this, that it has always meant both. And I was chatting with Andy Hill last night at dinner. I don't read Hebrew, and so I depend mightily on those who do to help give clues to these sorts of things. And Andy said, yes, implicit in the word is probably both things from the very beginning. That made sense to me because that seems to me the way the Hebrew mind works. The Hebrew mind is good at paradox and holding two things that look like they're decidedly opposite, holding them together as one truth. Whereas some think it moved from being a plea to praise and from a cry to confidence. I believe that the proper perspective probably is that it is both a plea and praise. It is both a cry and an exclamation of confidence. It's both. One interesting fact I found this week, it was fascinating to me, is that the palm fronds that were used in these processions actually came to be called themselves hosannas. We take a family, extended family vacation, usually once a year. And because Destin, Florida, is only about 7-hour drive from Nashville, it's easy to get to beautiful white sand and clear water and great seafood. And our kids and grandkids and us and sometimes a great grandmother will join us. And we spend a week on the beach. We've done it for about 12 or 13 years. And our twin 8-year-old granddaughters, who they just turned 8 in December, this past early in the fall, she was still 7, we were down there, and they had worshiped with us in our house church for 2 or 3 years, but had moved on to a church that had children's programs, and so they had not been with us for a couple of years. And Emmy, one of the twin 8-year-old girls, we were getting out of the car, and there was a big palm right next to us, and I pointed to the leaves. I said, Emmy, do you recognize what that is? You know what those are? She said, yeah, those are Palm Sunday branches. And so she had that connection of waving those palms. I don't know if she made the connection in her mind yet that those were the same Sundays that we shouted, crucify him. But I suspect that at some point in her mind, she will begin to make that connection as well. Praises are implicit in our petitions. When Israel would call out to God for rescue, would call out to him to save, it flowed out of the perspective of always remembering the Exodus event, the Red Sea event, and being rescued from the pursuers. And so there was an incredible confidence that he would rescue again, that he would save, because it's his nature to save. As we've talked about before on some of these mornings, worship is filled with all kinds of dichotomies. And if they make you uncomfortable at first, that's okay, but at some point get used to it, because they're not going to go away. Is it Christocentric or is it Trinitarian? Yes. Does it celebrate the word or does it celebrate the table? Does it show or does it tell? Yes. Does it declare something or does it engage us in a dialogue? Yes. Is it communal? Is it about the family? Or is it missional? Is it outwardly focused? Yes. And is worship about remembering or is it about anticipating? Yes. Hosanna is the perfect word for us to reclaim. It's a perfect well of Abraham for us to redig in our lives, to reclaim in our worship vocabulary, and to renew how we think about what we're doing in worship and how we articulate our worship. God, save. Save now. I need help and I need it urgently. God saves. Panic, petition, and resting in the peace of the one who saves.